Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
But everybody said the same thing, make sure you win. We will. We've already won in many ways, but we haven't won enough. We go forward more determined than ever to achieve ultimate victory that will end this long-running danger once and for all. 47 years.
As the U.S.-Israeli war enters its 11th day, President Trump sending mixed messages on when the war on Iran will end. Overnight, residents of Tehran reported experiencing some of the most intense bombardment of the war. We'll speak to retired Army Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who serves as chief of staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell during the run-up in early years of the U.S. war on Iraq. We'll also look at how Gulf nations are responding as Iran continues to retaliate.
Our country has been subjected to a brutal attack by a neighboring Muslim country that we consider a friend, even though we have not permitted the use of our land, airspace, or coasts for any military action against it. We've repeatedly informed them of this through our diplomatic channels.
And we'll speak to investigative journalist Antonia Yuhas, who's long documented wars for oil. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As financial markets were tanking, President Trump told CBS News yesterday the Iran war is, quote, very complete, pretty much, just before the markets closed. But later in the day, Trump continued to send mixed messages about the war. In a speech to Republican lawmakers in Doral, Florida, Trump vowed to keep striking Iran's leadership.
But we had leaders, and they're gone. Then we had new leaders, and they're gone. And now nobody has any idea who the people are that are going to be the head of the country, and will not relent until the enemy is totally and decisively defeated.
And later, at a news conference, President Trump was asked about the U.S. strike at a naval base near a girls' school that killed 175 people, most of them children.
Mr. President, you just suggested that Iran somehow got its hands on a tomahawk and bombed its own elementary school on the first day of the war. But you're the only person in your government saying this. Even your defense secretary wouldn't say that when he was asked, standing over your shoulder on your plane on Saturday. Why are you the only person saying this?
Because I just don't know enough about it. I think it's something that I was told is under investigation. But tomahawks are used by others, as you know. Numerous other nations have tomahawks. They buy them from us. But I will certainly, whatever the report shows, I'm willing to live with that report.
On Saturday, President Trump said he told Kurdish forces not to enter the Iran war. That's despite reports the CIA had been working to arm Kurdish forces to instigate an uprising within Iran. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has said Iran is prepared to continue missile attacks across the region for as long as necessary and ruled out talks with the U.S. to end the war. Meanwhile, residents of Tehran report toxic air, soot covering streets and cars and balconies filled with black gunk after Israeli strikes hit the city's oil depots Sunday. In interviews with The Guardian and NBC News, sources from inside Iran report they woke up with pain in their throats and burning eyes due to the environmental disaster. The World Health Organization's Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said, quote, damage to petroleum facilities in Iran risks contaminating food, water and air, hazards that can have severe health impacts, especially on children, older people and people with pre-existing medical conditions, unquote. Meanwhile, in Tehran, Hundreds of thousands of Iranians rallied in support of the new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei, who succeeded his father, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, assassinated by U.S.-Israeli strikes on February 28th. Iran says the war has killed more than 1,255 people and injured about 10,000. CCTV footage captured a U.S.-Israeli strike near a boys' school Sunday. According to Iranian state media, a boy, Mayar Zangane, was killed in the strike. On Monday, mourners gathered in Tehran for the funerals for the victims of Israeli and U.S. strikes.
If a ceasefire happens, the blood of our martyrs is wasted. And in my view, a ceasefire means disrespect to all these martyrs. And honestly, it must be continued until the end.
In Australia, five Iranian women soccer players were granted humanitarian visas after they sought asylum. Iranian state television had branded the women as wartime traitors for refusing to sing Iran's national anthem. Iran fired drones towards Saudi Arabia and Kuwait early Tuesday. The Saudi defense ministry said it's destroyed drones over the country's oil-rich eastern region, while in Kuwait, the National Guard said it shot some drones down in Kuwait's northern and southern areas. This is Kuwait's Emir Sheikh Mishal al-Ahmad al-Jaber al-Sabah.
Our country has been subjected to a brutal attack by a neighboring Muslim country that we consider a friend, even though we have not permitted the use of our land, airspace, or coasts for any military action against it. We've repeatedly informed them of this through our diplomatic channels.
This comes as the U.S. State Department ordered American workers of the U.S. diplomatic mission in Saudi Arabia to leave the country. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham questioned whether the United States should continue honoring its defense agreement with Saudi Arabia because the kingdom has so far refused to join U.S. and Israeli military operations against Iran. In Bahrain, an air defense interceptor fell into a residential neighborhood, injuring 32 civilians, including four who are in critical condition. In Turkey, NATO air defenses shot down a second Iranian ballistic missile that entered Turkey's airspace. In Lebanon, the United Nations warns nearly 700,000 people, including 200,000 children, have been forced to flee their homes over the past week as Israel continues to bombard Lebanon. Lebanese authorities say nearly 500 people have been killed, with death toll rising by around 100 a day. On Monday, Israeli airstrikes hit five branches of a financial institution run by Hezbollah in the southern suburbs of Beirut. Oil prices fell Monday from near-record highs of roughly $120 a barrel after President Trump suggested in an interview with CBS News the war in Iran could end very soon. Trump also called Russian President Vladimir Putin Monday to discuss the war. Soon after the call, Trump said the U.S. would ease some oil sanctions. This comes after the U.S. Treasury Department said it would temporarily allow Russian oil sales to India, just weeks after India agreed to stop buying Russian fuel in exchange for a U.S. trade deal. Putin said Russia is ready to supply oil and gas to Europe as the war in Iran has halted oil shipments through the Strait of Hormuz while seeing major damage to oil fields and refineries across the Middle East. Europe had largely stopped purchasing oil from Russia to stop funding its war on Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine has sent drone experts to help protect U.S. bases in Jordan, with 11 countries asking Ukraine for assistance in countering Iranian strikes. Since September 2024, Ukraine has faced near-daily attacks from Shahed drones, originally designed in Iran, the technology later transferred to Russia. Writing on X, President Zelensky also accused Russia of turning Iran's strikes on U.S. bases in the Middle East into, quote, a second front of Russia's war against Ukraine. The FBI subpoenaed records from a partisan review of more than 2 million ballots cast in the 2020 election in Arizona's Maricopa County, expanding President Trump's wide-ranging investigations into his election loss to Joe Biden. The request for records is related to a 2021 audit of the 2020 election carried out by the Republican-dominated Arizona State Senate, which, despite the partisan nature of the review, confirmed that Joe Biden's victory was in Arizona. This follows the FBI's raid of the election office in Georgia's Fulton County in January when federal agents seized 700 boxes of ballots. Meanwhile, President Trump said Sunday he will not sign any more legislation until Congress passes the Republican-backed Save America Act, which would require voters to show passports or birth certificates to register to vote or update their voter registration information. The bill also effectively eliminates online and mail voter registration. In New Mexico, state investigators Monday descended on a ranch formerly owned by the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, where survivors say they were said they were abused and trafficked. The search of Epstein's Zorro Ranch came after New Mexico's attorney general last month reopened an investigation into the property, which was closed in 2019 at the request of federal prosecutors. Meanwhile, the Justice Department has released three FBI interview summaries relating to Donald Trump that it previously withheld from public release in another apparent violation of the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Justice Department officials said the documents missing from the initial release were mistakenly coded as duplicates, but did not explain why only the three interviews that named Trump were excluded. The summaries describe interviews with a woman who said she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump in the 1980s when she was 13 or 14 years old, after she was introduced to Trump by Jeffrey Epstein. In Texas, newly released body camera and surveillance footage cast doubt on an ICE official's claims about the killing of Ruben Ray Martinez, a 23-year-old U.S. citizen, fatally shot by a federal agent in South Padre Island as he was driving his car. The video released Friday by the Texas Department of Public Safety appears to contradict the ICE spokesperson's claims that Martinez intentionally ran over a federal officer before another agent fired three times. The video shows Martinez was given conflicting instructions by officers from multiple agencies as he drove his car very slowly near the scene of a previous car accident. The footage does not show Martinez rapidly accelerating or appearing to run over a federal agent. The officer who killed Martinez has been identified as Homeland Security Investigations Agent Jack Stevens. Last week, a Texas grand jury declined to indict Stevens in the killing of Martinez. And more immigration news, a family from McAllen, Texas, that includes two teenage brothers who've won awards for their mariachi music, has been freed from immigration detention after a delegation of Texas Democratic lawmakers pressed for their release. 18-year-old Antonio Ramez Cuellar walked free from the El Valle Detention Center in Raymondville Monday, and later in the day, his brothers, 14-year-old Caleb and 12-year-old Joshua, were released along with their parents from the South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley, the ICE jail there. The family was detained on February 25th following a routine check-in with immigration officials. They entered the U.S. in May 2023, had followed the Biden-era process of applying for asylum. Among the lawmakers who pressed for their release was Texas Democratic Congressmember Joaquin Castro.
These were upstanding folks who were following the law. They were, again, at the invitation of their congresswoman, those young men performed their mariachi music at the U.S. Capitol. And now they've been sitting here in this trailer prison, and we're waiting for them to be released so that we can help them get home.
Here in New York, federal prosecutors have charged two men with terrorism after they allegedly threw two homemade bombs during a protest outside Mayor Zohran Mamdani's residence on Saturday. Neither device detonated. No one was injured. According to a criminal complaint, 18-year-old Amir Balat and 19-year-old Ibrahim Kayumi made statements in which they said ISIS had motivated their actions and that they sought to cause more damage than the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Their arrest came as counter-protesters outside Gracie Mansion clashed with supporters of white supremacist Jake Lang, a January 6 rioter pardoned by Trump, infamous for organizing anti-Islam demonstrations across the U.S. In a statement, Mayor Mamdani wrote, quote, "Such hate has no place in New York City. It's an affront to our city's values and the unity that defines who we are. What followed was even more disturbing. Violence at a protest is never acceptable," the mayor said. And a federal judge has ruled Carrie Lake unlawfully served as head of the U.S. Agency for Global Media for several months last year, ordering the federal agency to reverse cuts to programs and over 1,000 layoffs carried out under her direction. Lake was appointed by President Trump without Senate confirmation in early 2025 to lead the independent federal agency, which oversees the Voice of America and helps fund Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Europe, and other state-sponsored U.S. news agencies. Under her watch, the agency fired all contractors, laid off most full-time staff, and replaced original reporting with the far-right TV network One America News Network. She also attempted to fire Voice of America director Michael Abramowitz, though a federal judge last August ordered his reinstatement. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
The U.S.-Israeli war on Iran has entered its 11th day. Its impact is being increasingly felt across the globe. Al Jazeera is reporting residents of Tehran overnight experienced some of the most intense bombardment of the war. At least 40 people were reportedly killed near the city's Rasalat Square. In Lebanon, the death toll from Israel's attacks are nearing 500. About 700,000 residents have been displaced. Earlier today, Iran reportedly fired drones towards Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and United Arab Emirates, where a large fire broke out in an industrial area home to petrochemical plants. A suspected Iranian missile also hit a residential building in the capital of Bahrain, killing one person and injuring eight others. On Monday, the Pentagon posted online a photo of a missile with the words "No Mercy" superimposed on it. An accompanying message read, "We have only just begun to fight." But soon after, Trump told CBS News, quote, "I think the war is very complete, pretty much," he said. Trump's CBS interview led oil prices to drop and for global stocks to quickly rise. But after the Wall Street markets closed, Trump told Republicans in Florida the U.S. hasn't, quote, "won enough." At a news conference on Monday night, ABC News reporter Selena Wang questioned Trump about the conflicting messages.
Mr. President, you've said the war is, quote, "very complete," but your defense secretary says this is just the beginning. So which is it, and how long should Americans be prepared?
Well, I think you can say it both. The beginning, it's the beginning of building a new country, but they certainly, they have no Navy, they have no Air Force, they have no anti-aircraft equipment. It's all been blown up. They have no radar. They have no telecommunications, and they have no leadership. It's all gone. So, you know, you could look at that statement. We could call it a tremendous success right now as we leave here. I could call it, or we could go further, and we're going to go further. But the big risk on that war has been over for 3 days. We wiped them out in the first 2 days.
On Monday, President Trump said he had a good call with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who reportedly proposed a, quote, "quick political and diplomatic end to the Iranian conflict," unquote. We begin today's show with retired Army Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who served as chief of staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell during the run-up and early years of the U.S. war on Iraq. He's taught national security affairs at both George Washington University and the College of William and Mary. Colonel Wilkerson, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you respond to what has taken place over this last 11 days, starting with the diplomatic talks in Geneva between Iran and the United States? And as those talks were just wrapping up, U.S. and Israel attacked Iran and killed the supreme leader there. Your response?
Yes, and Amy, for the second time, we violated international law in that respect and just common human decency. And your comments at the opening of the show were spot on, but not nearly broad and deep enough. I come from an administration of George W. Bush and Richard Bruce Cheney that committed war crimes that Colin Powell and his lawyer, Will Taft, and I agonized over in trying to present some message to the American people about them. This administration has committed more war crimes in the last few days than I think any country since Adolf Hitler committed. And that is an incredible condemnation of this entire process. We have bombed civilians relentlessly. We have bombed a school. We have bombed a hospital. We have struck facilities in the nature of Tehran's oil capacity that is now putting black poison all over 10 plus million people. And we are essentially not bombing ballistic missile sites and bombing war materiel. We're bombing people. We took a lesson from the IDF, if you will. We are bombing people, as incidentally they are still doing in Gaza and doing now in Lebanon to a fare thee well. These are all war crimes, and one wishes with fond hope that someday we might be called before the bar of justice and have to account for these war crimes. And what you just talked about is a crime also in the eyes of international relations and people who want to keep decent international relations ongoing in the world. We're destroying that. And on top of all of that, and this is the real serious problem here for America, Trump and Hegseth and Rubio and the other entourage of their national security complex have completely misjudged the nature of this war, as has to a certain extent Bibi Netanyahu. This is a country as big as Western Europe with 93 million people, probably 90 million of whom will fight us to the bitter death, who live in terrain that almost killed Alexander the Great. It is entirely inhospitable to military operations, and Trump is actually talking about putting ground forces there. And the only way he will be able to claim any nature of victory is to do that. Only that will be the end of the empire's presence in the Levant and the Middle East in general, because we will not be able to sustain that economically, physically. We do not have the soldiers or Marines to do that. But that's what he's talking about. This is pure nonsense. There was a column in Haaretz yesterday, and the title of the column essentially was Trump will chicken out in this war, too. I'm sorry. He's not going to chicken out necessarily. That might be the tone intent he puts to it. He's going to be defeated, as are we.
Colonel, I wanted to ask you, we played that clip with Trump talking about all the damage that that Iran has sustained, but there's been very little acknowledgement by the U.S. military or the White House to the enormous damage that has occurred to the U.S. military footprint in the Middle East for decades. All of these bases and a radar, multi-billion-dollar radar, were established throughout the region. And what's your understanding of the nature of the damage that has occurred to all of these bases, not just among the Gulf states, but also even in Iraq and other places of the Middle East?
Yeah, that damage is enormous. And I think what you're witnessing right now is the initial steps of the empire, the American empire's retreat from the Levant and the Middle East in general. I don't think we're going to be able to sustain our presence there after what's going to happen here, particularly if we stay at this for a long time and really do take significant casualties. We're already taking more casualties than people know about because the media is not being apprised of them. Yes, we had the ceremony at Dover, but there are people getting ready at Landstuhl, our throughput hospital in Germany right now, to accept multiple casualties coming in. They've stopped their civilian service and so forth at that hospital. And other things are being geared up too, like Walter Reed. I don't think they have even a modicum of appreciation of what kind of casualties are going to result, though, especially if we put ground forces into Iran. And that is the only way, unless he just lies completely about it, that Trump is going to be able to assert any kind of real force with regard to this population. And to your point, in Bahrain, they have taken out billions of dollars worth of U.S. radar and equipment, including the vertical missile loading cranes. So now ships have to go all the way to Diego Garcia to load these weapons. They have essentially obliterated our capacity to carry out combat actions from a number of places in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. Al Udeid is actually under threat now, too. And this is all part of the warp and woof of our ability to carry out combat operations in the region. I'm not even sure our biggest facility for passing on troops, throughput facility that we used in both Iraq wars, is in Kuwait. I'm not even sure that that's up now and able to do anything. So how would you even get Marines or soldiers, God forbid, into Iran? That's a huge problem. They will sink the ships that are coming to deposit those troops wherever they're coming. We have not really damaged their ballistic missile capability. And the media blackout on Israel is keeping the American people from seeing the enormous degree of destruction to Israel, the latest component of which was a riposte to Israel's having struck their oil facilities on Haifa, their oil facility port. And Haifa is being taken down much the way Eilat was taken down by the Houthis, the Al-Ansar in the Red Sea, when we failed to be able to reopen the Red Sea. And that's the next step. The Bab el-Mandeb will be closed once the Houthis have gotten into action full time again. And 60% of the world's commerce passes through the Red Sea. It's not oil and gas exclusively. It's all manner of things, foodstuffs, commodities and such. So this is a war with long legs. Trump has completely misinterpreted it. The only one who's interpreted it correctly is Bibi Netanyahu, and I think he's ready to use a nuclear weapon should it become as bad as it looks like it might right now, because Iran has not even begun to shoot its most sophisticated missiles. And now the second and third class of those missiles is getting through almost without opposition. Imagine what these Mach 3, Mach 4 missiles with huge warheads that have maybe 100 different other warheads they display all across an area are going to do to Israel once they're fired. And they're still there, and they're still ready to fire.
And Colonel, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the media coverage of what is going on in Israel. It has been amazing to me that all of the major U.S. media are based in Israel, in Tel Aviv, yet we are seeing the least amount of coverage of what is going on within Israel. I want to quote from a piece, an online piece that CNN reporter Oren Lieberman posted earlier this week. And he wrote, and I'm quoting, "Every reporter in Israel and every member of the public is subject to a military censor. On national security grounds, the regulation authorizes the censor to prohibit reporting or broadcasting any material that would reveal sensitive information or pose a threat to the country's security interest." And he goes on to say this is particularly sensitive during wartime where the military censor has made clear that broadcasting any images that reveal the location of interceptor missiles or military sites hit by enemy projectiles is forbidden, especially in live broadcasts. Now, they say this on their website, but they never mention this on air. None of the networks are mentioning on air that they are strictly prohibited from showing any actual real damage. I'm wondering your sense of what the responsibility of the U.S. media, especially since they're always showing us the results of the plumes rising in Abu Dhabi or in Saudi Arabia or even in Iran, but not the direct hits that are occurring within Israel.
I'll tell you what I told the senior editor to the Washington Post recently. I think it's abominable, the lies that the American mainstream media, both video and print, is telling the American people. And they're putting us in jeopardy in a real substantive sense because the American people have no way of judging just how foolhardy, how stupid, how unwise, how violative of international dictum and rule this war is. And when it gets to the point, I think this is the end of the Trump presidency, actually, because when it gets to the point where the pressure is so great and some of this has to come out and casualties are manifest, then the American people are going to ask really important questions. Why did you lie to us? Why did you tell us what you were telling us? Why did you start this war of choice? Iran was no threat to the United States of America whatsoever. Did you go to war for Israel? We have heard you went to war for Israel. These are questions that are finally going to get out there in the hustings and going to have to be answered by someone, probably your local congressman, the supine body that has done nothing to check this president, particularly in the war power. And we haven't even talked about that. This is a complete violation of the Constitution of the United States. Just as Kofi Annan said about the 2003 Iraq War, it's an illegal war. And he went on to say it was a violation of our own Constitution. And he was absolutely right. But this pales, or that pales, in comparison with what Trump is doing right now and what he is going to probably have to do in order to seem to correct his errors. And I'm truly worried that this destruction of Israel is